You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Crowpot contains language and themes which may not be suitable for anybody. It's secondhand news on the Crow Pod, Friday, October 27th here, day after a 0-0 in Prague, where thankfully we avoided being openly racially abused. Big win for the hosts there, but of course there's only a few days left in the month here, friends, so scroll down, hit the Buy Me a Coffee link, or go support that, thecopelandroad.org. We are giving away more stuff from our friends, the famous, and of course we have a lovely canvas. Beautiful shot of Ibrox at night, if you haven't seen it there, that we are giving away from our friends at Blue Room Art. So go hit that stuff or find their links down there. Go buy stuff from them. They're nice people and they have good Ranger stuff. 0-0. And a fucking miraculous point, and one that we almost could have got 3 points out of once we put players on the park who looked like they actually wanted to play football. I realize we have a very short squad right now, in terms of bodies available. Of course, made worse by our former manager, not really giving us any options at left back in Europe here. So, but I'm not going to get on Big Phil here on the front. I think he's doing well with what he's got. I got to wonder if he's already seen enough of Sam Lammers and Cyril Dessers to know that if anyone else is available and fit, that they've got to be in ahead of them. I mean, just two completely empty shirts yesterday. Dessers got into one good position and then gave away a foul, which really wasn't a foul, but still. I mean, the fact that, you know, he got into that kind of spot to lose the ball. About his sole contribution to the game. Lammers, again, gotten a decent goal-scoring opportunity, which, you know, was not finished. And outside of that, just, I mean, largely invisible. Where Cantwell and Sema were having to carry everything going forward. Very few options being given to them from Lammers or Dessers there. In fact, many times I think they were almost collapsing areas of the pitch that Sema and Cantwell wanted to work in. Didn't really seem to know where to move off the ball. Didn't really seem to know what to do once they had the ball. It's no shock, you know, once Dessers was taken off, that we actually started creating chances. You know, sadly, I mean, by that point, Cantwell was off as well. We had Scott Wright kind of filling in that role. Fair enough to him. He did the Scott Wright-ish shift and also put one about 22 rows up. but that was a point somehow. I mean, because that easily could have been 3-4-0 at halftime. We were so fucking far out of that game without Jack Butland. There's not a chance in hell we escaped that yesterday. And like I said, I mean, we had chances late at the end to pull out, well, all 3 points. And so, I mean, that leaves us now. Look, we take care of business at home in the next two matches. We really don't have to worry about the final round of fixtures in this group, which is nice. If we can do it against that side, who are obviously pretty fucking mediocre, even in the state that we're in, pretty goddamn bad. And then, you know, the other one that's having fun on Twitter right now, fucking around with all of our supporters. So, and that just avoids the whole mess of having to get something against Betis there at the end of the group stage. So, you can take some positives from that, because obviously you get through the groups and give Big Phil the January window here to do something, you know, bring in players that actually fit, work, want to work, bring in enough players to where Ben Davies isn't taking corners, which is an image I'd never want to see again. I get sometimes teams get a center half that's just a fucking dead ball nightmare specialist, right, for the opposition. I've never really seen anything to indicate Ben Davies was that. And I think watching him hit outswinging corners was going to kill Kevin Thompson. I was waiting for the word that, you know, he'd suffered a stroke there in the comms booth yesterday. Watching that, I think all of us were pretty well fucking borderline on it when we saw who was over there lining up. God damn. All right, whatever. It's over. No. We got the hell out of there. We got a point. Again, all we got to do, I mean, we can take care of business against these two teams and get through to January. Of course, there was some other news around the club yesterday there. Graham Souness decided to, we'll go on TalkSport and tell everybody that he's all but officially a consultant for the board and the exec comm, and then proceeded to throw, well, the new manager under the bus, apparently the board under the bus, the exec comm under the bus. The last two, I mean, I really don't care. Go ahead. Say that Frank Lampard was his choice. Detail all the reasons that Clement shouldn't have been the manager. I am... I'm unclear how in fuck... Now, I don't, you know, not privy to any background conversations that have happened today, right, as a result of this. This does put, you know, Big Phil on the back foot. I think the opening question of his press conference today was, well, basically, did you hear what Graham Souness said and what do you think? You know, which he shouldn't have to be talking about this. And again, this goes back to, you know, systemic failures throughout the club and how we go about approaching comms and, well, hiring managers, just pretty much everything. Yeah, I think I likened it yesterday at halftime. James Bisgrove is like the Clay Davis character in The Wire. He's the rainmaker, right? And every time it doesn't rain, it's because it's not supposed to rain yet. And when it finally does, it's because his plan worked. Souness is a byproduct of that kind of operational planning and execution. And, you know, for him to come out and go public, I mean, I wasn't averse to having someone like him or him. I mean, there's not too many other options involved somehow, you know, with, well, again, in a consulting role. But for him to go out yesterday and say all this shit, which, again, puts the manager in this uncomfortable position where the very first question he's going to answer at today's press conference is about this shit. And thankfully, you know, I think, Phil says something to the effect, you know, there's no concerns with Souness being involved, which is the right answer, because it's not really his decision to make. It's the decision of the people above him who hired Clement and decided to consult with Souness on who to hire. But, you know, Phil, he also had to say that he basically wasn't aware of the comments about Lampard and how that would have been Graham's first choice. And, of course, did the right answer, which is, I'm not here to talk about this kind of stuff. I'm here to talk about the team. So, well done, Phil. Shitty job again from everybody else involved. And obviously, you know, I mean, at this point, I'm not sure how the fuck you validate Souness even being involved at this point going forward. Some of the other news, again, talking about the limited options in the squad, Kamar Roof will not be available this weekend. And according to the update provided today, still struggling for, well, what's been a long time. And the club need to find the reason. This is from Colin at Heart and Hand here, who was at the press conference today. Need to find the reason rather than just getting him fit for one game, and we need to find the root of the problem. Now, again, we've been discussing some of these systemic issues throughout the club. Medical staff and player fitness obviously being highlighted by the manager since he's come in. Kamar Roof, now this is, I'm going to get you something here. This is 4 or 5 weeks ago. But while the Jairz boss will be cautious before throwing Roof back into action, the good news from his scan is that he may be out for only a week. Beal told BBC Scotland, fingers crossed, Kamar will be available again by next weekend, so that's good news. There was nothing really significant on the scan, so it was a good decision to come out. What in the fuck is going on with the medical staff? Now, look, he's a different beast all the guy, I get it, right? Kamar Roof's made out of fucking crystal. But these are the kind of questions, again, that we've been trying to ask, certainly since we've been back doing this. But certainly, you know, these are the kind of things that we deserve to have answered. Now, maybe the upcoming fans forum with the CEO and everybody might provide some insight into this. But again, not holding out any hope on that. But we saw it again yesterday. We got players wholly unfit. I mean, not capable of playing 90 minutes. We've got who's supposed to be one of our, I mean, main goal-scoring threats, yet again, unavailable for selection. And obviously now, despite being told, you know, almost on like a Jordan Roster-esque timeline, the 7 to 10 days, but obviously on the more realistic Jordan Roster timeline of, we really don't know when the fuck he's going to be able to play again. I mean, from what we can tell, he wasn't re-injured. It's still whatever the fuck it was back when we were being told that the scan was good and there wouldn't be a problem and he's just going to miss the next week. Quick break here. Coming back, we got some more SMP madness around the football. Plus a pretty good update, timely update from last Friday's episode here in Secondhand News about gambling and sports. So we're going to come right back with that.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
All right, welcome back. Part two, secondhand news here for Friday, October 27th. Again, scroll down, give us a hand. Like I said, a few days left in the month. We're giving away stuff from the Famous. Of course, go check them out, thefamousheadwear.co.uk, and our friends Blue Room Art, blueroomart.co.uk. And there's still time to get your pre-orders in for our exclusive scarf that we've done there with the Famous. Also down there in the show notes, there's, I gotta just click the link, pick out, there's one for UK shipping, one for international shipping. I tried to make it a little bit easier. It's the system that I had to use, so. But, yeah, if you're already a member supporting the show, you get a little bit of a discount on those, and we're taking pre-orders through November 5th. Scotland's First Minister is giving himself a hectic few weeks here, playing the role of head of state. I guess Halloween is coming up. Everybody needs a costume. But, of course, he's injecting himself into discussions around football supporters, other such things. Before, was asked about, well, the display at Celtic Park there at the week. And he responded, of course, to the National, their reporters. There are more important issues. Well, let's set that one aside here for a second. Harry Hunter, self-proclaimed woke blob, your words, decided to hop on Twitter there yesterday, xtwitter.com, and said, such admiration for him putting up with this nonsense and keeping his cool. I think I would be screaming, who cares about flags at a blooming football game? Get a grip. Get a grip. Who would scream about flags and supporters at a football game? Well, Mahari Hunter would scream and bitch about fans walking to a football game carrying flags, of course. I mean, she did that back in 2018. What was it? Just rage and intimidation from Ranger supporters walking to Ibrox with flags. And, of course, the great First Minister, today, he's got more important things to do, like engage in posting shitty gifts after being called a blatant racist by another blatant racist, but very important things to do, like, well, what was it? Trying to launch government probes into doctored TikTok videos, right? From football matches, but after football matches. So, as I said yesterday, Mahari, look, given your track record of worrying about things at the blooming football and Humza's track record of doing the exact same, depending on when it suits, you could, with a straight face, say not to worry about stuff at the football, during the football. But it doesn't seem like a very shrewd move for a woke blob such as yourself. And following on from last Friday's show about gambling, of course, word coming down, Tenali there at Newcastle is going to be suspended for 10 months from football. It has not happened yet. And as I said during last week's show, Newcastle fucking play him until he can't, which sounds like they are because they came out and said, look, we don't have any fucking paperwork yet. We're going to play him. Do it. Hell, keep find a fake fucking mustache for him and throw him out there under a different name. Keep playing him. Fuck him. The NHL over here and our buddy Todd, his Ottawa Senators, facing a similar issue right now. Shane Pinto suspended 41 games for gambling, not on hockey, apparently. By his own admission, the players' union's own admission, the league's own admission. 41 games, half of the NHL season. For sports gambling, Shane Pinto plays for a team that literally has a gambling website on their fucking jersey. And this is what I was talking about on the show last week. If you haven't caught it, you can go back. Rule 21 came out just a week ago today. Leagues, teams, governing bodies, everybody. It is an indefensible position in the long term to be handing out suspensions to players for gambling on sport with one hand, while you're taking in cash hand over fist on the other. And this is not going to go away until it's dealt with. Again, this will, I mean, fuck. You know, we just saw yesterday Joey Barton relieved of his position. I mean, the first thing I got, well, beyond him being a shitty manager and an asshole of a human, you know, what kind of lines do you have on matches involving his own team? Again, look, I think it is very important to have very clear guidelines for players when it comes to gambling that you cannot cross. When they are crossed, these are the expectations. They have not laid these out. I mean, obviously, these suspensions, you know, I don't know. I haven't looked at the NHLPA's, you know, labor contract with the league. I don't think that there are any clear guidelines for this kind of stuff. And much like Tenali's, it seems to be just something being made up out of whole cloth by the governing body. But, you know, the fact that this comes handed down from a league that worked its ass off to put a team in Las Vegas, which literally received the Stanley Cup on the ice next to a giant fucking slot machine, right, that sends out stuff on not yesterday's suspension announcement, of course not, but sends out stuff on letterhead highlighting FanDuel as an official partner of the league. Again, the Ottawa Senators have a gambling fucking sponsor on their helmet. And this was initially reported out by The Athletic, who have a sponsorship deal with BetMGM. If you surround sports with gambling and then get upset when people partake in the gambling, it's not going to be a good look continuing, ongoing. Especially when the suspensions seem to be arbitrary and taking on the decision, the advice of people who are the direct beneficiaries of money from gambling. I mean, gambling companies don't get their money from other things besides gambling. They get money from people losing gambling on your sports. You cannot govern sports off the back of this kind of shit with any kind of straight face whatsoever. You're just as bad as Mahari Hunter over there talking about don't worry about shit at the football. It's not a good look. Not a good look for anybody involved. And, you know, credit to Shane Pinto. Didn't really come out with any bullshit, I'm a gambling addict nonsense. Just went, I'm suspended. That's it. No excuses, no nothing. Just taking it. 41 games, missing half a season. 22-year-old, just getting his career going, missing half a season. And finally, again, from the world of sports abroad. Oh, here's a little story about look, if you ever want to know where the high five came from, right, the thing that has just engulfed the sports world for the past few decades, I'll settle in here quick. Here's a little story. Dusty Baker, who's the manager of the Houston Astros here, announced his retirement from managing after they were knocked out of the Major League Baseball playoffs by the Texas Rangers, Jack Irvin's Texas Rangers. The back of the, well, what was a very good seven-game series, but the seventh game, they just got their heads caved in. And Dusty, look, a very good Major League Baseball player in his own right. Went to a couple All-Star games, won a World Series with the Dodgers back in 81, when they finally overcame the Yankees. You know, the Yankees kind of kicked them around for a couple years there in the late 70s. And then, you know, as a manager, he's three-time, I want to say, manager of the year. He's won a couple World Series, albeit one the Astros cheated like fuckers. I mean, just I don't know how you get to keep a World Series when you admit all of that. But anyway, Dusty, though, was one of the two guys to invent the high five as far as, well, anybody can track back. I mean, it's... seems implausible that you can track back something that, you know, ubiquitous in society. But here we are, October 2nd, 1977. Again, the year that they would lose to the Yankees in the World Series. But on the last day of the season, the Dodgers had a chance to, put together the first team ever with four guys in their lineup hit 30 home runs in the same season. And Dusty was the one sitting there on 29. He finally hit it. So I don't know, I can't remember when the hell it was in the game, but doesn't really matter. Came around, you know, reached home plate, clapping up in the air, came around, crossed home plate, running back toward the Dodgers dugout. And here was Glenn Burke. Glenn Burke, perhaps now more well known for, well, after the fact, being acknowledged as the first openly gay Major League Baseball player. This, of course, effectively ended his career. The Dodgers, actually, at one point, wanted him just to get married to a woman to stop any of the rumor milling that didn't really reach a national level. It was really only in Los Angeles local. They sent him to the A's in 1978. And, you know, he's, well, just basically blackballed out of the league by 1980. Very good player, too. Sadly, Glenn Burke, of course, contracted AIDS, passed away in 1995 before any recognition. Well, again, for him being the first really openly gay player. The Dodgers, I don't think, what was it? The A's finally celebrated Pride Night in 2015. The Dodgers didn't do it till 2022. But, you know, whatever. Look, society takes a long time to change. Sad part is, very little recognition for being one of the two guys who invented the high five, because as Dusty came to the dugout, Baker came running out with his right hand up in the air, jumping, telling Dusty to slap it. And there is a wonderful photograph of whoever, I forget who the photographer was, down in the pit, in the dugout there at Dodger Stadium, you know, so below field level, shooting up into this jumping, leaping, massive moment in the history of men everywhere needing somehow to celebrate even the most mild achievements. And Dusty Baker and Glenn Burke, the creators of the high five back in 1977. So now you know the next time your buddy, you know, tries to give you one because, I don't know, he ordered the next round of beers, or made some absolute bullshit shot playing billiards, whatever the hell it is. Now you know. So there's a way to get the next free round. You say, hey, you know who invented the high five, by the way? You can tell him. It was Dusty Baker and Glenn Burke. And go, oh, bullshit. And then he can look it up. Free drink on me. That's going to wrap it up here for Secondhand News. Again, please, guys, check out, like I said, a few days left in the month. Go down, hit the Buy Me a Coffee link, blah, 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 show notes. You guys know the deal. We did plenty of stuff this week. Of course, the big show came out on Tuesday. More info following up off of the win over Hibs. And some talk about, well, how come we have to give the Sparta Prague fans a free pass for just not doing racisms. Congratulations. Very well done. We'll be back with more next week. If you're going to the match this weekend, please be safe. Thank you all again. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah.
You can't be fucking serious at all.